at 99.3 FM and WBT.com.
John Hancock.
But this time last year, I heard from a guy named Ron Lawrence, a name I probably should have known because he and I have a lot of common friends. He knows a lot of our engineers and former ex-engineers over here at WBT. And in fact, he's got a long history with the WBT radio. He's the head honcho guy at the, is that right, the head honcho guy?
Yeah, I guess you could call it that.
Is that your official title?
Head honcho because I'm the one that does all the work.
Yeah, he's the one that they said, let him organize all of this stuff.
Yeah.
And we'll just show up and act like it's our deal. Antique Radio Charlotte is what they're doing, and he invited me last year to come out to this conference that they were having. He said, we do this flea market on Saturday, so why don't you come out to the Sheraton Charlotte Airport Hotel, which is right there at 85 and Billy Graham.
Billy Graham, right. Mm-hmm.
And so I did. And I wandered around the parking lot with guys selling everything from knobs to tubes to consoles, table radios, transistor radio. I mean, you name it. It was for sale out there. People working out of the back end of pickups and station wagons. And so we got to talking, and we've talked a couple of times since, and I asked him to come on in this year and talk to me a little bit about the Antique Radio Charlotte Club, which is a strong affiliation with WBT, but I guess that would make sense because since you're around since 1920, this is the...
Yeah.
You've got a lot of WBT stuff.
Yeah, I've got a lot of WBT stuff in my collection. And, I've been, in and out and around here for a long time and known a lot of people here, over the years. And, I knew Jim Patterson, with WBTV way back. He was a good friend.
And did you know Crutchfield?
No, I met Crutchfield. Matter of fact, my wife works for the post office, and she used to deliver the mail over there, and Charlie Crutchfield was on her mail route. She delivered Charlie Crutchfield's mail.
When I first got here, as you may or may not remember, I was not received warmly. And that's when I was doing 9 to noon. And Charlie wrote me a number of letters over the first 2 or 3 years that I was here.
Right.
And I got to know him pretty well. And our general manager at the time, Rick Jackson, had known him for years. And so I got to be pretty good friends. The last time I remember with Charlie was he came by for Henry Bogan's retirement, and we did it back here on this back lawn.
Right.
Susan and I helped Charlie get down the hill to where the thing was being held.
Right.
But that's why I've always, I guess, kind of considered myself the bridge between the past and where we are now.
Right.
Because if you knew Charlie Crutchfield, if you knew Charlie Crutchfield, then you knew what WBT was founded on.
Yeah, that's right.
And the rest is, so I miss Charlie to this day. You brought in a tube.
Yeah.
Is that the right classification for that?
Yeah, absolutely.
This is from the first WBT transmitter in 1922.
That tube is out of WBT's original 1922 transmitter.
So that's got Laxton and Gluck DNA on it somewhere.
Fred Laxton went to, when they, Fred Laxton, Earl Gluck, Furman Ferguson, and another guy, and I can't remember that name, slips my mind, met at a radio store on College Street in downtown Charlotte. And I've got a picture of the radio store on the inside of it. And they met there, and they were ham radio operators. And there wasn't any radio in Charlotte. People out there probably don't understand what that's like, that there was no radio station. There was nothing. And, if you wanted entertainment, you wound up in the Victrola or played the piano. But these guys were down there at the radio store, and they started talking about this new thing called broadcasting. KDKA was on, and there were some others around the country, and they said, well, maybe we ought to look into this. And
that's when they put the experimental station on the air, and that's where you get into the discrepancy of whether or not we beat SB or so on and so forth, and it doesn't really make any difference.
Yeah,
I think SB's got a legitimate claim to the territory. But
if you look, you can go back and look at the history and look at the stuff, and I know WBT used to say they were the second station on the air, and if you really look close, they're not really even in the top 10.
Yeah.
But like I said, Laxton went to Schenectady, to where GE was, and to buy a pair of high-power transmitting tubes, packed them in his luggage and brought them back on the train, and that's one of them sitting right there.
Wow.
And I've got a picture, terrible picture. I would give anything if we could find a good photograph that shows that transmitter, and there are none. I've got a picture off of a microfiche, or a, what do they call it, but before, not microfilm, at the library of the Charlotte News article about WB by the new radio station, and they have a picture of it. Terrible, terrible picture, but you can make it out, and if you know what you're looking for, you can make out the tubes in the picture.
Now you kind of got inside to WBT in some ways because of Ted. Ted Bryan is former engineer here. In fact, he still works here on kind of a consulting type basis.
Basement, right.
And Ted, I know Ed's involved with the Antique Radio Charlotte Club. So is that kind of where you got?
That's how we really got in. Is when Ted became part of our club, and we founded the club. The radio meet that we're having this weekend, next weekend, this is 32 years since we did our first one. Our first one was in 1979, and for years we did it. Mostly it was I did it and a couple other guys helped me, and we just kind of did it. And we didn't have a club or anything.
Something to do on a Saturday.
Just something to do. You know, I mean, we wanted to have a radio meet. And, there was an old guy that lived in Winston-Salem that had done them for a couple, 3 years. I went to my first one in 1978, and three of us got together, and we did a display of antique radios at the Shelby Hamfest in Labor Day of 1978.
Most of you guys are hammies, too, aren't you?
Well, no, I went ham. I was real late getting into ham radio as far as collecting. When I first joined the Antique Wireless Association, just about everybody in the club was a ham. I was an odd man out. Well, I wasn't a ham because they were all. It was founded by hams.
And you're the and pardon this. I don't mean this to. But you're just the geeky kid who started collecting radios when you were a kid.
Yeah,
like when you were 12, you started getting fascinated by this stuff.
Well, I started getting fascinated by radios early on. I bought my first antique radio when I was 17, in high school at West Mecklenburg, right here in Charlotte School.
And you're how old now?
I'm the same age you are. I'm 58.
Okay. And, so 17, that would have been 1960-something.
69, 70.
That's the time I was going to military school.
Yeah, but I was taking electronics at West Mecklenburg, and our electronics teacher, Rick Bilbro, who is still a real good friend of mine, lives in Raleigh, and he's retired now, and he's a ham, and we still keep in touch via email. In fact, I emailed him this afternoon, and I said, try to listen. I'm going to be on the radio. But anyway, he had brought a magazine in to the class, Popular Electronics, that had an article called Whatever Happened to Atwater Kent. And if you know anything about it, Atwater Kent was the biggest radio manufacturer in the world before 1930.
I've never even heard of it.
Really? And you can go look at my webpage. You'll see a lot of stuff. And I was fascinated by that. And about that time, my mother got me to go one Saturday with her to something that I'd never been to before. It was a flea market up at what was then the Mecklenburg County Fairgrounds. It's now Metrolina Expo, same place. And walked in the gate, and right inside the gate, sitting on the tailgate of a pickup truck, was an Atwater Kent radio that I recognized from the magazine article. And guy wanted $15 for it. And all I had was 10, and I went to Mom, and I said, Mom, let me have $5. I want to go buy it. And she said, I'm not going to give you $5 to buy that old piece of junk. If you want it, you go over there, and you talk him down to $10. Tell him you got his $10, and you want it.
Good for her, by the way.
Good for her. Mom taught me, I bought my first radio, and Mom taught me how to haggle all in one move.
I didn't learn until I went to Mexico.
And so I bought my first radio right there, and there was a guy that did an article in the news about me years ago, about my collection, and his little line in there, and it's probably a Shakespeare line or something, but it's from innocent beginnings do dark obsessions grow. And I went, that fits it pretty good.
Now, for the flea market last year that I went out to, what were there, 35, 50 cars sitting there?
Oh, well, and on Saturday, you missed the big one. The big one's on Friday. The big flea market, the good flea market is Friday. Saturday, everybody...
That's kind of what's left over?
Yeah, Saturday's what's left over. Saturday is when we let everybody in free. If you want to come Thursday and Friday, then you can pay registration for the conference. And I brought a couple brochures for you guys for you to look at and have. And I'm starting on Thursday afternoon. We'll have a luncheon at lunchtime on Thursday, kickoff luncheon. We have programs all Thursday afternoon and evening. Friday morning is our big flea market. We've got more than 125 vendor spaces sold now by pre-registration. And then we'll have that all day Friday run. And then Friday afternoon, that'll run all day. But then starting Friday afternoon about 1 o'clock, we have an auction. People bring stuff in, check stuff in, and we have a We have an auction there in the hotel.
Is there a difference between the auction or the flea market that's going on Friday and the one on Saturday? In that, is Friday the one where all the people that would be in the flea market might kind of mix among themselves and trade and do stuff like
not,
that?
No, see, we don't. That's one thing that we do. You don't get in early. I mean, the dealers. One of the things that we stopped a long time ago was, and in the hobby, at the national conference in Rochester. People, guys up there, I've been there before. You'd be out there at 4 o'clock in the morning with a flashlight looking in trunks. And we said, hey, this is going to stop. We're not going to do that. It keeps pushing back. You know, any kind of flea market you've ever been to is really only good for the first 2 or 3 hours. After that, you just walk around kicking tires and talking.
Yeah.
So, you know, if it starts at 4 o'clock in the morning, it's over by 7. So we said, we're going to start it at 8 o'clock. You can go in and park your car, but you have to be outside the gate before 8 o'clock. Everybody is out. And we have what we call our Le Mans start, and everybody's out there, and we're watching the watch, and I'm standing there with a PA mic in my hand, and when it gets to be 8 o'clock, I say, go to it, and everybody goes to their cars and unloads, and it goes to town.
Well, so the Le Mans start is actually to actually put your stuff
absolutely
out on display.
No, yeah,
so nobody sees anything on Thursday or Friday morning?
No trading. No buying, selling, trading, or displaying before 8 o'clock Friday morning, period.
So even if you're out there seeking stuff, you would not know ahead of time where you needed to go.
No. It's wide open. Everybody's fair, and it's you can't we were just this past weekend at the Charlotte Ham Fest. Well, one of the things that we learned a long time ago about the keys to getting into a ham fest early is to pay for a flea market table. You get to get in before the public gets in. And as soon as two flea market vendors start unpacking stuff, the thing's owned. Because everybody's buying from everybody else for hours before the public ever gets in.
So on Friday, you do the Le Mans start.
Right.
And then by 1 o'clock, you're doing an old equipment auction.
Right.
Now tell me old equipment meaning
what? That's everything. Anything that anybody could bring, there'll be lots of stuff. You know, last year we had a huge estate sale. A real good friend of ours, one of my best friends, was just 6 months older than me, passed away, died, had a heart attack the year before. And his family came to us and asked us to sell his collection. So we actually had two auctions last year.
This
was
last year. I remember you telling me about this.
We had an auction, the estate auction on Thursday evening and then the regular attendee auction on Friday. But, you know, people that don't want to deal with, you know, the flea market or whatever, or the guys like me, I can't watch a flea market table. There's too much going on. So the stuff that I'm gonna take to sell, I'm gonna put in the auction. I can't, you know, that's the only way for me to sell them. And then it goes to the highest bidder. We've got people coming from, you know, there are people coming from all over the country. I got a few good phone calls from a good friend of mine, Phil Taylor, a few weeks ago, and I answered the phone. He says, "Hello, Ron. This is Phil," and he lives outside of London. And he says, "I've already got my hotel reservations and bought my plane ticket. We'll be getting there on Wednesday night." And he's coming from England for the show.
Wow.
We had people last year from 5 countries. We had England, Sweden,
but
Canada.
You had this collection last year, too, that was kind of, I mean,
That was a big draw.
That was a big, that was a rare.
Big, big draw, He had, Ernie had primo high-end. He didn't have a huge collection. He didn't have, you know, any.
But what he had was really quality.
Really high-end stuff. He only wanted the best stuff there was. He had really high-end stuff.
Ron Lawrence is with us, and he's with the Charlotte Antique Radio Conference. They've got their big meeting next weekend, and we'll give you all the particulars on that. If you go to the Hancock page at WBT.com, you'll find a link to his website, and you can see a lot of his WBT memorabilia as well. He brought some of it in tonight, which is always fun for us to get our hands on and kind of take a look at it. And we'll continue our conversation with Ron in just a second.
Hancock.
Ron Lawrence is with us. He's from the Charlotte Antique Radio Conference, which is taking place next weekend. It'll be at the Sheraton Charlotte Airport Hotel. Got just a few minutes left here. Ron, kind of give me the breakdown. Thursday is your check-in, so if people are interested in this, they check in on Thursday morning before 11 o'clock?
They can check in any time they get there. We'll have registration. I mean, the check-in desk will open at about 9 Thursday morning, and then it'll be open all day. Like I said, we'll have... there's a luncheon on Wednesday, kickoff luncheon, and then we go into programs. This year we're concentrating our programs on repair and restoration, people showing different ways, different ways to do things and tips on how to do things. I've got one guy coming just talking about how to repair busted volume controls, and one of our guys is going to do a program on cleaning with an ultrasonic cleaner and nickel plating at home, and that kind of thing is all there Thursday afternoon. I'm going to get up on stage Thursday night, and one of the things that I've tried to get people to do in the past, and we've had one guy do, is come in and talk about their hobby, get up there and talk about what they collect and show pictures and that kind of thing. So I'm going to put my money where my mouth is, and Thursday night I'm going to get up on stage and I'm going to show pictures and talk about my hobby.
Well, and you've got a pretty extensive collection from what I've been able to see, so you've got some stories to tell about some of the stuff that you've acquired.
And stories, to me, are as important as the piece.
Yeah.
Just about every piece of my collection has got a story with it, and, that's...
Well, like this tube you brought in from the original transmitter.
Absolutely.
And the story about Laxton having to go up and buy them and get on the train to come back. Well, that's already a story in its own right, because nobody goes up to Maryland anymore to grab two tubes for a transmitter to get on the train to back, you
know? That's right. How I got things or the history behind them, I'm really, really interested in the history, of radio. There's a lot of stuff in there, a lot of stuff to talk about. And, if you go to my webpage and start looking around, there's a lot of, I have page after page after page of different things you can go look at. And
how do people get in touch with you? Obviously, there's some links up at the Hancock page at WBT.com, so I assume that would probably get them to you. We have the link to the Antique Radio Charlotte 2012 conference.
They can go there, and they can go, if they go to that page, or they go, if you've got a page there on Hancock, to go to my radio collection, and you go to that page, and right there at the top of the page, there's a little button that says email me. And you can click on that, and you can send an email directly to me from that page.
You also have a link to your WBT stuff.
Right.
So if somebody's listening to BT and has a long history with this radio station, you ought to wander in there and take a look around, because you've got some really neat stuff.
And if you go down and look at the bottom, if you go scroll down to the bottom of that page and look, there's a link to your page. I worked on the page this afternoon.
See, so I put your link up, you put my link
up.
That's
scratching each other's back. That's right.
Time Saturday rolls along and the flea market that I go to, you guys are pretty much winding down at that point. You've had your 2 days of meetings. And
it'll for all intents to be, your purchase will be over by noon. It's one of those things that people have a hard time understanding. If you're going to come, you can come Saturday, and Saturday's free. There's no registration. You don't have to do anything. Walk on in and walk around. But don't show up at 11 o'clock and expect to see anything. What you'll see is people packing up.
No, because I got there last year when you opened, and that was, at 8?
Yeah, we opened about 8.
And the dew, we were still pushing off the dew off some of the tables and stuff. But people were putting this stuff out for the last time.
Right.
And I don't know if it works or not, but, in some cases, you might be able to pull yourself a bargain because they may just
assume maybe people don't want to carry stuff home. Sure. There's always last... There's a logic to last minute buying and that kind of thing. You're not going to get the primo items if you wait till the last minute because everybody's seen it for 2 days. But
if you're an amateur collector want a table radio that's got some age or some style to can do that.
Absolutely.
I told you I saw a console out there last year. Now I've got a console now that your buddy Ted's refurbishing for me. But I saw a console out there last year, and I always go for the dials to see. Because back in the day when they were making these things, the region that they were bought in had the call letters of the radio stations that you would be able to get printed on the dial itself. And so if I see one that says WBT, but some lady had one last year that is the nicest dial I've ever seen in my life.
Well, you ought to see, I was telling you about some that's going to be for sale at the show this year. And if he brings it, he's got what's called a Zenith. It's called a baby stratosphere. And it's got a dial. The dial's about that big around. And as you change bands, it changes color. And color filters drop in and out. And it's just knock your eyes out dial.
Remind me to leave my charge card at home. And cash in my pocket.
But,
Ron Lawrence, you'll see the Antique Radio Charlotte 2011 link on the Hancock page. And wander on in there. And I'm serious. Either go in and register on Thursday and be a part of this. Or wander on in like I did on Saturday. And just shake some hands and talk to some of these guys and meet some people, and maybe that'll entice you to be a part of it next year.
Somebody might light the fire, and we might have another collector. That's one of the problems in the hobby that we need is you walk around in the radio meet, and everybody looks like us, and we don't have many young people. I was real tickled just a few months ago. I got a You're running out of time?
Yeah, I am.
Okay. I got a call from a young guy. He's just in his 20s, just head over heels in love with early stuff. He only wants battery stuff, 20s stuff.
See, I would love a kid. I would like to find a kid like my son's age that would be enthusiastic enough to kind of carry on the tradition.
Absolutely.
Hey, Ron, good luck. Thanks for coming in.
John, I appreciate it, bud.
You betcha.